This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm David Lazarus of the Los Angeles Times. If you're headed to the movies this weekend, you've got your pick of the paranormal. There's Demonic Possession.
Who's still out there?
Apollyon. The demon.
Alien Invasions.
Three different migrations coming from three different directions flew into your house. It's as if something was drawing them to your home.
There are people who have reported experiencing the same things that we have been experiencing.
And of course, zombies.
What am I doing with my life? I'm so pale. I should get out more. I should eat better. My posture is terrible. I should stand up straighter. People would respect me more if I stood up straighter. What's wrong with me? I just want to connect. Why can't I connect with people? Oh, right. It's because I'm dead.
Time out. That last one doesn't sound so scary. In fact, it sounds like everyday life for some of us. You know, I gotta be undead to feel insecure or apprehensive about the future. So maybe this is why zombies are the monsters du jour in pop culture, bigger even than smoldering, sparkly Pacific Northwest vampires. The clip we just heard was from the zombie rom-com Warm Bodies. And don't forget The Walking Dead, of course, one of the biggest hits on TV. All right, two questions now. Why do we love these mindless, murderous creatures so much? And what could possibly be the money connection here? For answers, let's bring in Maria Pramaggiore. She is a film professor at North Carolina State University, and she says zombies help us connect with our feelings of social alienation.
Zombie films, and the Warm Bodies included, are using death or the undead, that boundary, as sort of the ultimate expression of feeling disconnected, feeling powerless. And as the author Huno Diaz has noted, unemployment. He points out that old school zombies, and that is going back to the classic zombies of the 1920s and 30s, were actually exploited labor. Their bodies were used in service often of, say, sugar plantations. They had a colonialist subtext. But of late, zombies don't have jobs. They wander and they threaten, and they ultimately have, you know, their bodies destroyed. But this term actually goes back to the late 1980s, and you might remember the savings and loan crisis then. It was also used to describe Japan in the early 90s. It's not a new idea or a new terminology, but it's reemerged with the financial meltdown in 2008.
A vampire, on the other hand, now these guys know how to party. Is a vampire more symbolic of the go-go years when things are all bullish out there?
Vampires are sort of the upper echelon of the horror film world, right? They're aristocratic. They're European. They wear velvet. You know, we think of something like Tom Cruise in Interview with a Vampire. But interestingly enough, it was Karl Marx himself who first used the term of the vampire to refer to capitalism itself, talking about capitalism sucking living labor. And living more, the more labor it sucked. So we almost even see there the vampire as the power of capitalism, whereas the zombie figure is really the working class, the plebeian. I mean, in terms of horror films, zombies are the lowest of the low. They always come in groups. They are, in many senses, the sort of great mass, the great unwashed, all of those negative terminologies that might be used to talk about the working poor, the working class.
Well, is it fair then to say that vampires are evocative of management or employers, whereas zombies are evocative of all of us working stiffs out there?
I think that's a fair analogy to make. Absolutely.
We've also seen a trend lately of little kids showing up in horror movies. I mean, to a great extent, these are kids who can't even go see these movies because of the ratings for it. Let's check out a clip from a new film called Mama.
Victoria and Lily were found in deplorable conditions. Their parents gone. Alone in the wilderness for at least 5 years.
Hey, Victoria.
How they survived is unexplainable.
You guys know what time it is?
Don't go in the closet.
Why not? What's in the closet?
Maria, what does that take us to? Exploited child labor? What are we looking at now?
what I see in the spate of horror films that are referencing children is that what we see before us in popular culture is the capitalization or monetization of parenting. In other words, there's an obsession with children because they represent the future. They represent something we may have done very poorly with. We're worried that we've exploited, we've left nothing for future generations. But we also see some very savvy strategies by pop culture figures like Jay-Z and Beyoncé, for example, trademarking their child Blue Ivy's name within several weeks of her birth. We see Mason Disick, the son of Kourtney Kardashian and Scott Disick of reality TV fame, being estimated at having a net worth of several million dollars when he was 3 years old, not because of inheritance, but because of his potential as a celebrity. We have Kris Jenner, the momager of the Kardashian family, saying that if she had known how profitable it would be, she would have had more kids. So what I think we see in this anxiety around children is very much related to the economic situation. I mean, periods of retrenchment, as we've been in since the recession, families have to, quote unquote, pull together. What that means for the Kardashians is very different from what it means for most Americans whose children are moving back home after college, are living at home through the college years, and that sense of independence and moving on has been in some ways turned back or stultified.
Well, let's just hope the economy really takes off again, like in a good Godzilla movie. Maria Pramaggiore is a film professor and the associate head of the English department at North Carolina State University. Thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you, David.